Hey, it's Michael.
Hi, it's Barissa.
Hey, Barissa, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am awesome. Where are you?
I'm at Tufts University, which
Okay.
is in Medford, but nobody ever knows where Medford is, so I just say Boston.
My family is, my mother and father grew up in Mattapan. I have cousins in like Marblehead and Newton and all over Boston, and I grew up in a place called I grew up in a place called Nantasket Beach, Massachusetts. So anyway, I know Medford well.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier. So
Oh yeah, for sure.
where did you go to high school?
I went to ISB, so International School of Bangkok.
You did. And did you go there the whole time?
I was actually at NIST first until around fourth grade, and then after fourth grade, my family decided to move to ISB, and then I stayed there until I graduated. So yeah.
Did you literally move to
I
Nishiratani? Did you
did.
move? You
I
did.
did. I used to live like when I was in the city, I used to live in Sukhumvit Soi 7, which is very close to NIST.
Yeah,
But then
very.
my parents made, I don't know, an executive decision to move out all the way to Nichida, and then we went to school there. So
Got
yeah,
it.
but I don't regret it. I love ISB.
The international school system in Bangkok is actually fabulous, and there's almost like a luxury of choice in the sense that there's so many great schools, and
There are.
ISB is amazing, right?
That's very true. Yeah, I still to this day do not really know the main reason for the move, but I am glad we did.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So, ISB also runs an IB program as well. Did you go through that?
I did go through the IB program. We offer, I believe we offer both AP classes and IB, but IB is definitely the one that most people take, and that's the one that I did as well.
How long have you been at Tufts?
I'm in my second year right now.
That's what I wanted to know. Like, do you notice a difference between the kids that were educated in an IB program and the ones that were just educated in a regular AP?
Okay, so I remember when we were in IB, all the teachers kept being like, one day you're going to be grateful for all of this. One day, like, you're going to realize how much we prepared you. And I hate how right they are because it's so true. First off, based on workload alone, kids who did the IB are just so much more are prepared and used to the intense workload of college. Honestly, I would say, at least in my experience, I think IB was more intense than what I'm experiencing in college. But that being said, I've only been here for like a year.
Right.
But I've just noticed a huge difference in like writing style because IB is very writing focused. We have, the EE, we have to write IAs for every single class, even math. IA is like it's a report for every class. So every class will have a different like what's it called? Like a goal for you to complete for a science class, you'd have to do a lab. For an English class, you'd have to do a creative writing piece and a rationale.
Got it.
But you have to write for every single class, which is sounds like a lot because it is, but it's really, really helpful. It gets you used to like different styles of writing, and you definitely notice compared to the other kids how much more prepared you are.
The whole concept of writing an internal assessment, right, is unique to the IB program, I think, no?
I think so as well. And you have to write an EE, which is a 4,000 word long paper.
Did you feel stress when you were doing that? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you understand the fact that you were going through something that was different and that was it stressful?
Yeah, it really was. I think the stress peaked around junior year, second semester, and senior year, first semester.
Why?
And just because you have all of your like IAs coming up. And you have your EE due, and at the same time, you have to do all your SATs, ACTs, and college applications at the same time.
Wow.
Like, it's such a lot of pressure. And the one good thing about it, though, is that everybody's going through it at the same time, and I think it really brings people together. Yeah, the suffering really brought us together in those final years of high school.
Did you understand, though, that sense of camaraderie? Did you talk about it with your other friends?
We did, and it was interesting because before we sort of just kept our school lives, lives as students, separate from our friendships.
Really?
But it got to the point where school was such a big part of our lives that we really depended on each other for moral support. So I would say definitely, yeah, you do feel a sense of camaraderie.
Did you see that some of the other students were struggling as well? And like, did you get the sense that like there were groups of friends that would actively support each other? It seems really hard, right?
It is really hard. Yeah. And of course you have your core support group, your main friends, but it was interesting that this sense of camaraderie would extend to people who usually wouldn't talk as either. So I think it really brought the whole class together.
How many kids are there in one grade at ISB?
Approximately 150, I think. 150. Yeah, 150.
So seven classes of 20 around, or maybe eight. I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to quote because I don't want to be wrong. Yeah. But 150 kids in a class. And did you all take the SATs on the same schedule? Was it something that the school organized for you?
Yeah, I think we had a testing center at the school. But different people did different tests, and different people were prepared at different times. So right. It wasn't everybody at once. But whenever you took it, you would see all your friends there because it was at the ISB testing center.
Do you have any recollection of your SAT test?
I do. I actually took the ACT. I prepared like crazy for that thing. My parents and I were like, yeah, we're very keen on getting in there and then doing our thing and then not having to do it again, which didn't work because I had to do it again. But it was stressful. Oh man, it was stressful. But I was there with my friends, so that was nice. I had definitely done a lot of practice tests, so it wasn't super foreign material that I was being tested on. Right. But there is that added pressure of like, this is what you're going to submit for colleges.
Were you always clear that you were going to go to school in the United States?
Yeah, I think so. I think I was. Firstly, I'm an American citizen, so I have a dual citizenship. So that makes it a lot easier for me to get into the country.
How do you have dual citizenship?
I was born in America, so I have an American passport through birthright. But then my parents are Thai, and I grew up in Thailand. So I also have a Thai passport.
Were your parents educated in the United States?
Okay, so I think they both went to college in Thailand, but then my dad did his medical fellowships at different universities in the U.S., and I think my mom did some sort of thing in the U.S. as well. I can't remember the specifics, but I know she was at Claremont McKenna at one point for business. And then, yeah, my dad was at Stanford, and that's where I was born, and then we just moved around a bunch until I was four, and then I moved back to Thailand.
So I want to share with you my SAT day story. That the reason why I ask about it is because you want to talk about stress, right? So yeah. I didn't have a testing center at my high school. And I also didn't do any prep. I didn't do any prep testing. I know. And
it's like the one thing you're supposed to do.
So I was driving to a place that I didn't know, a different town's high school, I don't know, three towns away. I can't even remember where it was anymore. And on the way there, I can't remember why, but I pulled over to the side of the road, I think, to help somebody. And I jumped out of the passenger side door of the car. And I was driving, right? And I was probably 16 or 17 years old. I can't remember. And as a habit, I jumped out of that door and I locked the door and closed the door.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
And then I went over and helped somebody and I got back to my car and my car was running and I was locked out of the car. And I still had no idea where I was going. Oh, I know why. I was asking directions. That's what I was doing. I was actually asking directions for how to get to this high school. And then my car was locked. And then somebody had to use a coat hanger to unlock the door. And then I had to go take the SATs. And when I got there, this is even better. It was a Saturday. So the school turned off the air conditioning, which meant that they had to open the windows in the first floor classroom where we were taking the test. And there was an athletic competition going on outside, and both sides were, their bands were there. So there was music and cheering and a whole bunch of shenanigans. And that's how I took the SATs.
Did you do well?
I did pretty well. Like, I wasn't embarrassed.
Wait,
I did pretty well.
Okay, that is impressive.
But I was stressed out, I'll tell you that. I was super stressed out. I don't tell that story a lot, but I was really stressed out.
I would have been too. I wouldn't have been able to focus, having to get there on time and then having a band play lovely music while you're trying to focus.
But a high school band, so just think about,
Wait, that's
an
such
American high school band just playing
a
like the most terrible sort of cheering music. Anyway, it was terrible.
It
No, it wasn't. Like, if it had been like a rock band, maybe it would have been fun, but it was no fun at
wasn't
all. It was just annoying. And the windows were open and it was hot. It was just a terrible day. But in the end, I ended up doing okay. What was it like when you were applying for school? You had lived in the States, but only when you were young, right? And your dad went to school at Stanford or did some fellowship when he was there. So it feels to me like maybe there's this unspoken pressure of you got to go to a good school in the US, plus you've been through a great IB program at ISB. Did you feel any stress around that at all?
I did, honestly.
Tell me.
Yeah, I did. And I think the culture, especially at international schools in Thailand, there is this sense of, prestige of getting into a good school, and there is
Sure.
a lot of pressure from his parents and other people. So my main thing was trying to get past that because, I mean, you have to, I just realized, you're gonna have to spend 4 years at the school that you get into and that you pick.
Right.
So like you might as well really like where you are, and I'd much rather be at a lower ranked school but be way happier than be at like a higher ranked school but be super unhappy. So there was a lot of pressure, but I think it forced you to sort of set your priorities straight, at least for me.
And how many schools do students, high school students, apply to these days?
ISU is interesting because they have a cap. So I think the maximum that you can apply to is 10. I think the reason for that was that they wanted you to focus more on each application rather than just like send a bunch out and hope for the best, which
Right.
I mean, okay.
Did you worry? There was this whole concept we'd go out to the mailbox and kind of wait for the things to come back, and we tried to kind of game what was happening. Like if it was a thin
Right.
envelope, we were just like, oh, that's a no. If it was a thick one, I'm serious, right? If it was a thick one, it would have other things you needed to fill out. So that would be a yes, or maybe a you're on a waiting list kind of thing, right? Or if it was early decision or something. But today, does it just come through email?
It does. I think it comes through email and you can check on their website. So I remember when results started coming out, people would be waiting or wake up at 4 a.m. because of the time difference to check the results. And
Right.
that's what I did. But I can remember exactly how it felt just the minutes leading up to the release. My heart was pounding. I was so scared. And then sometimes it would end in, tears after rejection. And then sometimes it would just be happy. Yeah, that's just the reality of the situation. Well, fine now. Everything worked out, so it was okay.
But isn't there something to learn from there? I think a lot of experiences in life are kind of metaphorical, right? If you know what that means. And the sense is, and one of the things I try to talk to my daughter about is no individual day is fatal,
That's
right?
true.
But it really seems like it. It's one of these things that as a parent, I try to not teach, right? But that I try to encourage people to understand. And that is, in the moment, particularly when you're 17, 18 years old, everything seems just really stressful.
Yeah, everything seems like it's going to be the end of the world.
The
I
end of the world.
remember.
But didn't you feel that? I know I did.
I totally did. I mean, okay, it's understandable though, because you spend your entire high school career getting ready for this one moment when
Right.
you get into college. And so it is very easy to hinge all of your whole life and your self-worth on this one rejection or acceptance, which is not healthy to do.
I don't think so.
Yeah, me neither. I think the same attitude goes for grades for a lot of students, especially in like the international school realm, where people just equate their grades with who they are, and that's just not right.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I think there are so many other issues that teenagers and high school students have to go through without having to worry about, the difference between an A and a B or a 5 and a 4 or whatever grading system you're in and how that impacts your self-worth. I mean, what you do and how you live is, to me, right, is way more important than the grade you get on any individual paper.
I
And
agree.
do you think forward in life? So how old are you? 20?
I'm 19.
You're 19. But do you think about 10 years on, when you're 29 or 39, and just think, I think about this a lot, right? And that is, If you understand at 19 that no individual day is fatal, at 29 you have to feel kind of the same way. Do you know
That's
what I mean?
true.
But you realize that when you come across these decision-making points in your life or crossroads, you have to realize, hey, if it wasn't a big deal when I was 19, maybe it's not such a big deal today. It doesn't mean I don't live a good life and be a good person, but maybe the thing to learn is that it's still okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
And it's hard. I'm not good at like visualizing ahead, but I know that's what you should do. It really puts things into perspective. I'm so guilty, though, of thinking that everything is the end of the world.
In the moment.
Yeah, in the moment. And then you wait like even a couple of hours and you look back and you realize how much you blew that situation out of proportion.
Right.
Right. I don't know why.
I think the reason why is external. I think it's exogenous. And I think what that means, and this is why I try to do it, and I'm not perfect, right? But one of the reasons why I tell Kyla that no individual day is fatal is because I think it feels like it from other external factors that you have in your life, and not necessarily your parents, but your surrounding and your students and your guidance counselor, whoever it is. I remember I felt a ton of stress around it. And I wish someone had said, it's going to be okay. Like if you make in life, kind of, if you make a good faith effort, it's going to be okay.
That's true.
How have you found that move from Nishida to...
I do live on campus. It was definitely overwhelming. I think that's one word that I used a lot my first year. It's just, there are so many different things to think about that I didn't consider. So,
like what?
Well, not only are you going to a completely new school, new teachers, you don't have any of your old support group in, you know, your immediate vicinity.
Right.
And you have a culture gap that you have to deal with. Plus the weather. Can I talk about the weather here?
Are you kidding me?
Oh,
are you kidding? I always wonder. So here's the thing I wonder about. Why is the sun set at 4? Now you understand, like, winter depression.
Yeah.
But I wonder a lot when a Thai student moves from Bangkok, right, to Boston or to Medford. Like I said, I grew up there. There were days where, like, there were 2 feet of snow on the ground when I was a kid, and I hate the cold.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate it as much then as I hate it now, but I could never go back and live there. And I'm not saying, but I went to university in Connecticut, right? So I get it.
It's also cold, yeah.
Yeah, and Tufts is a killer great place to be for a lot of different reasons, right? But it's so cold, no?
Oh my gosh, it is so cold. And it's weird because during the summer, it's so freaking hot. And then in the winter, it's just super cold. Also, the weather here changes by the day. It's ridiculous, but it is kind of nice, keeps you on your toes. Yeah, nobody told me to be prepared for the weather change. No, we didn't. Like, we had some talks about how to budget and how to cook, but not about the weather. And it's insane how much it affects your mood and your day to day.
Who wants to go outside when it's 0 degrees Celsius and it's snowing? It's like driving snow. You can slip on the ground.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Me too.
You know what you do get, though? Do you have a car?
I don't. I don't even know how to drive yet. I have to do that.
Fair enough. But what month are we? We're September, almost October. Have you been up to Vermont and New Hampshire to watch the foliage?
I have to because a bunch of my friends are there right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Is it really good?
I just got a chill just thinking about it. I'm not kidding.
I thought it was already very nice here in Boston, so I can't imagine how beautiful it is up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fewer people and more nature, right?
That's true. Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, wait until next year. More of your friends will have cars and stuff. You just drive up north into Vermont, spend the weekend in like Brattleboro or someplace and just walk around. Or actually, I recommend taking a bicycle tour. I've done that. It's so amazing.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Yeah, it's so amazing. But what else? So what else surprised you about like being away from home? And I don't understand what dorm life is like these days, but do you have a roommate?
I do have a roommate.
Okay.
My first year roommate was we were I really hope she doesn't hear this. Actually, no.
That's okay.
We were on good terms. We just coexisted. It was that type of thing. I knew some of my friends whose their relationship with their roommates were really tight. They were best friends and they spent all their time together. For me, it wasn't like that. We just kind of coexisted, but I think that was nice. it meant that my own dorm could be, you know, my private space.
Right.
And I think I really needed that because when you're in college, you're just surrounded by kids and kids your age all the time. And as an introvert, like, I need my own time. So that space was really important for me.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, dorm life was not that bad. I actually enjoyed it. I didn't mind the bathrooms. I don't really care. I know some people have problems with sharing bathrooms.
Do you live on a single-sex floor or are you on a co-ed floor?
I'm on a co-ed floor.
So was I. It was weird.
Well, the bathrooms last year were separated, but this year I'm in a suite with a bunch of my friends and it's just co-ed. And there is that like initial hesitation and discomfort, but you just kind of get over it over time.
But again, it's one of those things where it's not fatal, right? You just figure out how to get along. And that's a new thing too, right?
That is true. You just have to learn how to adapt.
Mm-hmm. You say that with a little bit of sarcasm, but I do think it's true.
I know. No, it's because that's what my parents always told me. And I'm like, oh, they're right.
You hate when that happens.
I do.
It's okay. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger brother, and he's a senior in high school right now. So he's going through the whole process, the application process.
What do you tell kids that talk to you? If you talk to your other students or other, you know, whether it's your brother or not, what do you tell them about the whole process?
I always just tell them to like put their health and their mental health first.
Yeah.
I don't think people say that enough.
I agree.
Like it is honestly so important. I think a lot of kids, they end up just totally disregarding their mental health and their physical health when they're going through this process because their only goal in mind is to get into college or to get into a good college. And I wish I could tell them it doesn't define who you are. And I know it's so hard in the moment to realize that, but you're so much more than just one acceptance letter.
Right.
And I wish none of the kids in my high school would have to go through that process and thinking that they're not good enough or they're not worth it. But I understand it's like part of the process, but I really wish it wasn't. Yeah. Like people, they don't get enough sleep. And they're always under so much pressure, and I don't think they're forgiving enough of themselves at that time. Especially my brother, I always worry about him because I know he has the same drive and he has the same work ethic. But I just want to, you know, like hug him and be like, everything's gonna be okay. It doesn't. Wherever you go, you're gonna be so happy and you're gonna be able to thrive. So like, try to enjoy the process at least.
Do you have any friends that went through this whole process and came out the other end in a way that was not satisfactory for them or for their parents? In other words, they either didn't get into the school that they wanted to, or they decided to take a year off. Like, did you see anybody really stress out?
I don't think so.
Good.
I mean, there were definitely some bumps, but in the end, you know, everybody is somewhere now, whether that be like in still like on a year off or at a different college that they were expecting, but they're all doing fine now. So no like disaster.
Was there an adjustment for the social life as well, right? Social life when you're at college is very different than it is in high school. Was there an adjustment there too?
Definitely, for sure. I think for me, having been at ISB since I was in fourth grade,
right,
I sort of forgot what it was like to have to make new friends. If that makes any
sense. It makes perfect sense.
I'm someone who, like, I owe so much of who I am to my friends, and I rely on them so much for just emotional and moral support. So being away from that, you know, support network was really hard, and then having to make new friends in college, and you have to really put yourself out there, I think, which is something that I had to work on last year. I wasn't super comfortable just meeting new people. And, you know, going out of my comfort zone and taking the initiative to do things with others. But in the end, it worked out fine. I love the people that I live with.
That's great.
Yeah, I think everybody has their own, you know, journey to finding their friends. And some people find their core group within orientation, which is great. And for other people, it could take up to a year or a semester.
Could do.
But you'll get there eventually.
Did you do any extracurricular activities like sports or clubs and stuff like that as a way to meet people or just to satisfy your interests?
I did some clubs. The Thai club at Tufts especially was so important for me. I just got to meet a bunch of other Thai students at Tufts, and I became really good friends with them, and we sort of forged this, Thai community on foreign soil, which I think was really important for the transition.
Yeah, do you think it's neat the way kind of people flock together when they feel a common thread and a common bond, even if they don't know each other beforehand? It's really powerful,
Definitely.
right?
It is really powerful. And it was the same thing that happened in high school when people were going through the application process. Kids, peers who used to never really talk would, extend like a helping hand, just
Right.
like give a hug to anyone that they saw that was struggling. So it's a similar type of phenomenon here. Yeah.
Do you still talk to your friends from ISP?
I do. I still talk to a lot of the kids who are still at ISV.
That are still there, but how about the kids that graduated with you?
I do, for sure. We definitely use a lot of, Snapchat and social media to keep up to date with our lives. And if there's anything, really important that people need to announce, they'll do it through Messenger. And it's really nice. I just like seeing where they are now, and I just like being, feeling a part of their lives. And whenever we go back for winter break, summer break, we always meet up. I love hearing about where they are.
Let me share one final story with you about my freshman year in college. So I went to high school right outside of Philadelphia. I finished high school. I also went to high school in Connecticut, and I went back to college in Connecticut. And I was sitting on my dorm room bed one day, and there was a knock on my door. I wasn't expecting anybody. It wasn't any particular day. I might have actually been in the middle of the week because I think I was coming back from class or at classes. And I opened the door, and it was just a friend of mine from high school had driven up. Because they just needed to talk to somebody familiar.
Oh, that's so
It
sweet.
was re it was super awesome, and the impact that it has on your friendship when you realize that somebody not needs you, but when there's this mutual sort of deeper friendship than you understood
Yeah.
before. You know, high school sometimes feels kind of whimsical in a way.
It
ISV is a
does.
special place, just like the other international schools here, because like you said, you were there from when you were in fourth grade until you graduated. And I guess for the most part, a lot of those kids were the same, at least your group of friends. And in a way, not on purpose, but you kind of take it for granted. And then you leave and you're like, whoa, that was a pretty powerful group of kids. And I had that same feeling when I was sitting on my bed that day, and my buddy walked in the room. We were like, okay, I get it. This is a real friend, and this is a friend forever. It's just kind of cool. And I didn't
Wait,
realize
that's
until I
so
got there, yeah.
sweet. Aw, are you guys still friends now?
Absolutely. And it's through
Aw.
ups and downs too. Yeah, Dennis. I mean, and Dennis will listen to this. He'll know who he is. He knows when I tell that story. But I want to be clear that like that concept of keeping in touch with those friends that are really tight with you, that have been your support system forever, it's really, really important. And it was
Yeah,
very
for
important for
sure.
him and very important for me at that time as well.
I think for a lot of people, it's very easy to sort of not forget, but let go of those relationships. But I don't, they're, but at the same time, they're so special.
They
And it
are.
does take more effort to stay in touch and to maintain that relationship with your friends. But these are, at least for me, I know that these people are people that like I'm gonna invite to my wedding, or like, so it's important for me.
Yeah. Look, I think this was a really fabulous conversation. I don't want to take up any more of your time. It's Friday, what, morning for you? You have classes today?
I don't. I'm so happy I don't have classes.
Oh my God. And you know, the one thing I didn't ask you, I'm really curious, do you
Yes.
choose a major yet?
Okay, we're doing that this year.
What are you
Shout outs to
thinking?
Tufts for letting us explore our interests before choosing our major.
It's a good idea.
I'm thinking right now I'm on the fence between biopsych, biology, just straight biology, or biochem. But I'm leaning towards biochem because chemistry is just fun now. It used to not be, but I my orgo professor is the cutest human being in the world, and he makes chemistry just the best. So
But chemistry is kind of awesome, isn't it?
it is kind of awesome. I do like it when biology is grounded in chemistry. I feel like when it's taught just straight bio, it's hard for me to understand a lot of the different mechanisms and pathways. But when it has a molecular
basis foundation. For it, right? Yeah, it's really, it's easier to understand, right? Are you thinking pre-med? Is that the sense I'm getting?
I am. Yes, I am.
Anytime there's biochem, bio, and bio something involved.
They're probably pre-med.
Probably pre-med is right. That's awesome. That's really awesome. My brother's a neurosurgeon in Connecticut, and his wife is also a surgeon. Her parents are both doctors.
Wait, that's such a power couple duo.
Yeah, they make me nervous, but they're super people. So nice. I feel the same way about my brother. I've got two sisters and one brother, so there are four of us. It's a great family, and you know, I feel about my brother the same way you feel about yours. I love my brother like crazy, my sisters as well. So fair enough.
Wait, that's so cute. Such a big family. I've always wanted.
It goes in cycles though, doesn't it?
That's true. Sometimes I'm like, I wish I never had my brother. Then sometimes I'm like, I want more.
I need more. Oh, that's awesome. Well, look, I think I said thank you about 5 minutes ago. I feel like I could keep talking to you, but we should probably stop here. I really appreciate
your
time.
You know what I was going to say, though? Sorry.
No, tell me.
I was going to say, you really remind me of Kengo. You remind me of an older Kengo. The way that you speak, your mannerisms are the exact same, which is a compliment because Kengo's such a great guy.
Kengo is a super young man, and if you think that I remind you of him, I'm honored.
You have this kind of way of talking. It's insane.
He's smarter than I am, though.
Oh, come on. I'm sure you guys are both very smart people.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem.